In this podcast, we're looking at the theories and concepts regarding aggression in sport. We're going to look at how aggression is defined, and that's often quite unclear in sport and often misused. And then we're going to look at some ways in which aggression can be caused, particularly with reference to games. And this is going to cover the work required for the sports psychology specification. Okay, first of all then, let's have a look at some definitions. Aggression in sport is defined as an intent to harm. It's often hostile. It's often outside the rules. It's reactive. And when you're aggressive, your behaviour may well be out of control. When you give a definition of aggression, try and include all those concepts. Intent to harm, uncontrolled, reactive, outside the rules, hostile. Aggression is sometimes confused with assertive behaviour by sports commentators. Assertive behaviour is more in control. It's generally within the rules. It's well motivated. It's robust rather than hostile. It's controlled rather than uncontrolled. An example of assertive behaviour, hard, fair tackle. The one that goes for and wins the ball in football. The one that tackles below the shoulders in rugby and puts the player on the ground fairly. Dominant, but not quite aggressive because it's fair and within the rules, even though it might have hurt a bit. Example of aggression, the tackling football that goes over the ball. The studs are up, there's an intent to make contact and hurt the opposing player. The tackling rugby that goes up above the shoulders, perhaps makes contact with the head. Again, there may be an intent to harm, there may be a deliberate action, there may well be a hostile action. Now, when you're asked to define aggression and assertion, and you use all those concepts, you will get marks if you use a third concept within those definitions, because sometimes it's very difficult to get the distinction between aggression and assertion. There is a middle ground. There is a grey area. That grey area comes because there are some sports in which the behaviour does perhaps have an intent to harm, but it's within the rules to do so. Boxing may well be an example. You can actually legally hit people. There's an intent to harm, but it's within the rules to do that. So maybe that comes in that grey area in the middle. And some, indeed, of the tackles you might see in football or rugby, they're fair, they're in the rules, but they may have an intent to dislodge the ball because the impact on the rib area or the arm area of the ball carrier. So, aggression in sport. Make sure you know the difference between aggression and assertion, and never forget, within those definitions, to include the grey area, because it's sometimes very difficult to make a distinction between the two classic definitions. Okay, the next thing looks at how aggression is caused in sport. And if you ever ask this question on the exam, you may refer to one or all of four theories. Aggression is caused in four ways by four theoretical concepts. Let's have a look at them in a little more detail. The first of them is called the instinct theory. This theory suggests that all of us are born with a natural aggressive instinct. It is part of our evolution. It may well surface under provocation. In a game, if we're provoked, if we're fouled, it may well be that that aggressive instinct will surface. And quite often, you'll hear players become very protective of their home pitch, their home ground. That's again an instinctive sort of evolution. This is our pitch and we're going to play well on here and nobody's coming to take the game away from us. It's that kind of approach that may lead to aggressive behaviour in sport. Part of our evolution, an instinctive response. The second theory is called the frustration aggression hypothesis. And the FA hypothesis suggests that aggression happens and is indeed inevitable, when our goals are blocked. And what that means is, what we're trying to achieve, if we're prevented from doing so, particularly if the thing that prevents us may be illegal, such as a foul, or something we don't agree with, such as a referee decision, then at that point, aggression becomes almost inevitable. We get wound up because we've been prevented from doing what we want to do, and in our perception, the thing that's prevented us is a little bit unfair or unjust. That winds us up. And at that point, aggression is therefore inevitable. This can go two ways. We can let out the aggressive instinct. We can have a shout, a rant, maybe get involved in an altercation on the pitch. Not good, but then we'll calm down. Once we've got rid of the aggressive inclination or let off steam, that's referred to as catharsis. Catharsis is defined as cleansing the emotions. We get rid of the aggressive inclination. In some instances, we can't get rid of the aggressive inclination. We don't do that. It builds up throughout the game. We become more and more frustrated. And at that point, there can be an even greater or even more aggressive responses. If we don't calm down fairly quickly, again, our play may well be affected because we continue to foul or do things on the pitch that we ought not to do. So the FA hypothesis suggests aggression is inevitable when our goals are blocked. We could let off steam and get rid of that pent-up aggressive inclination. Or in the worst-case scenario, we harbour the aggressive inclination. And because we harbour that aggressive inclination, then aggressive acts are produced. Okay? There is another theory of aggression. It's called the aggressive cue hypothesis. And the aggressive cue hypothesis suggests that aggression can indeed be learned. But this aggression is learned from actions, from triggers, from things we may have picked up in coaching sessions, from other games, from our experiences. And a little bit different now to the first two theories, instinct and FA, the cue theory of aggression suggests that we can actually learn aggressive acts rather than them be instinctive. So the aggressive cue hypothesis suggests we learn from our experiences and we pick up triggers in sport that enable us to act aggressively. In football, a corner kick overcomes the ball. Because of previous games, because in our training we've reacted aggressively at corners, you know, where players pull shirts and elbow people and stand in front of the keeper and the coach tells you to do that, that might well happen. The trigger, the corner kick, we're going to act aggressively. So learned cues is another way that aggression can happen in sport. The final way aggression is caused is by the theory of social learning. And the social learning theory suggests that we learn aggression, particularly if the aggressive act has been reinforced. That means someone may have acted aggressively. It may have worked for us in sport because it may have prevented the opposition from attacking. If it's been reinforced, and particularly if it's done by someone we hold in high esteem, such as the team captain or role model, then that behaviour could well be copied. We copy from significant others. We copy when their behaviour is reinforced. And very importantly, in terms of social learning, we copy behaviour when it's live. We are more likely to copy behaviour that's seen as live. That is very, very relevant to the sporting context. We now have four ways aggression is caused. Instinct, FA hypothesis, the learned cue hypothesis, and by social learning. The next thing you might need to know in the exam is how can you prevent such aggressive acts? Well, aggression can be controlled by players and coaches and indeed officials. Officials have a responsibility to talk to players, to calm them down, to apply the rules consistently and fairly, to apply those sanctions immediately. And really out of respect and for health and safety of the players, the referee should send players off who do aggressive acts. Players too, and coaches, can set non-aggressive goals. Coaches can calm players down. Players can learn from role models. In training, you shouldn't reinforce aggressive acts. You should reinforce non-aggressive behaviour. And you should perhaps point out to players that if you're acting aggressively, it may be that your behaviour is out of control. That's in the classic definition, you may remember. If your behaviour is out of control, that's not good for the team. Arousal levels may be too high and your performance could, well, suffer. So aggression is not good. And we've looked finally there in the concept, some ways that coaches and players and officials can control it. Okay, just to finish then, a little idea on a concept for you from the exam. What if you were asked if contact sports are more likely to cause aggression in sport? The way to answer that question, and some students will do this by quoting examples of being fouled, by quoting examples of being annoyed by the referee. That doesn't give a full answer. What you need to do for the very top level is if you're asked about the causes of aggression, always, always refer to the four theories. Now, contact sports like football, rugby. Is there an opportunity to show the instinct theory? Would you react aggressively if you were fouled? Yes, you would. Is there an opportunity for the FA hypothesis? Would you get frustrated if you're called offside by the linesman when you're actually not? Yes, you might do. Is there an opportunity for learned cues, such as the example of the corner kick we gave? Yes, there is. And finally, in contact sports, is there an opportunity for social learning? Yes, indeed there is, because it's a live action. So, the answer to the question, do contact sports produce aggression? Yeah, but you must relate it to the four theories. And if, during this podcast, you've learned the definitions of aggression, the difference between aggression, assertion and the grey area, and you've learned the four theoretical concepts that may produce aggression in sport, and indeed how we can, as coaches and players and officials, try to control aggression, then you've covered what's required for your specification.